Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful word of God. I thank you for your wonderful truths that you give us. And Lord, once again, I ask for your help, your power, your wisdom as we preach. And Father, I just want to thank personally all the fathers that's here today. And I pray, Father, that they have such a great responsibility, Lord, that you will help all of us, Lord, to be what we ought to be for thee. And now, Father, we just put this matter into thy hands, asking you to take your word and use it today as you see fit. And we'll remember to praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 2 tells us that we're to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's no doubt about it that Jesus Christ is the only one that we can look to as far as salvation is concerned, as far as being sure we're going to heaven and being sure that we're walking in the right way. There's none other that we can look to except him. But I also realize that we, being men, do look to people. Not for salvation, not for those kind of things, but we do look at people. Even the Lord said in his word that man looks on the outward and God looks on the inward, the heart. So there's no doubt whatsoever that man does look at other people. This morning, if I just take a little while and talk to the fathers this morning, I want to share with you a little bit about influences. There's no doubt whatsoever that every father is an influence to his own family, to other people's families, to their church, to their community. There's no doubt that we all at times look at other people. There's no doubt that little children look at moms and look at dads. There's no doubt that young ladies look to older ladies. There's no doubt that little boys look to daddies. There's no doubt that daddies look to grandmas and our grandpas, no doubt whatsoever. We just have a tendency to do that. We will look at other people's lives. Congregations look to preachers. Preachers sometimes look to Christian leaders. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. Somebody's always got somebody else to look at. Now, we're not trusting for our salvation in those people, but we are trusting that they'll be a great influence upon our life. If there's one thing today that I would trust that we could tell our fathers today, is that one of the greatest things that you can be is a godly influence upon your children. They need that more than they need anything else in the world. They need the influence from a godly father. You say, I haven't been a Christian very long. Doesn't make a difference. Start living for the Lord right now. Be a godly influence. Go from where you are. You can't go back. You can't go back and bring and make things different than they used to be or than they are. You just need to go on from where you are. And so this morning, we want to try to help us to look at some things in the Word of God. And of course, again, I'm a firm believer that we look at people's lives in the Word of God. In Sunday school, we're looking at Peter, looking at his life, learning some good things about Peter and learning some things that's not so good about Peter. There's things that we can learn from each other. So this morning, we've got some influences in other people's lives that we find in the Bible. Some things that maybe was their strong point. They were especially strong in this area. That part of their character was very, very good. And so I'm going to just take a few of those and try to help us as fathers, as grandfathers this morning, and try to get us to be also an influence upon those around us. There's no doubt whatsoever, fathers, that your children are going to be influenced by you and I. There's no doubt about that. And that's basically the way it ought to be. That's the way God intended it for it to be. Sometimes we're maybe a good influence. Sometimes we're not as good as we ought to be, and we can learn from that also. My daddy was a good man. My daddy was a hard-working man. I've never seen a man any harder working than my daddy. Donna's daddy was a hard-working man. And a lot of the old-time fellows, they was hard workers. And a lot of our young ones here are too. But I'm just simply saying they believed in work, and they had to work. They had to work hard. I miss my daddy. I really do. I can see him now just sitting. I think of him when he's sitting there at home. I can just see him in my mind's eye right now. I'd like to talk to my daddy. I'd like to talk some things over with him and give him, maybe he could give me some advice on some things, because you never outgrow the need of a daddy. I believe the daddies are very important. I believe that he put a lot of things in me and the reason I am today. Now, you can either take that for good or bad, but you can take it. But some of the reasons I am today is because of my daddy. My daddy made me a strong man. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about otherwise. My daddy put some things in me, some backbone in me. My daddy looked at me many times over the years when I was growing up. He'd say, "Son, if your word's no good, you're no good." I can still hear him saying that. So I want my word to be good. So if your word's no good, you're no good. I can hear my daddy saying that. And his word was good. My daddy's word was good. And he taught me to let my word be good. I'm not saying I've always kept that, but I sure have tried. And I sure try to work on it. Because every time I don't, I sure hear my daddy in the background saying, "If you're no good, if your word is no good, you're no good." I can still hear my daddy saying that. I think it's important that we have our word is good, don't you? So there's some things my daddy put in me that I'm so thankful for today. I'm glad my daddy spanked me. I'm so glad that he got out the old-fashioned twig, not a little one, but a branch off the tree. And well, he never got a little one in his life. He didn't know what little was. And I'm glad he got them and spanked me. I'm glad he gave it to me when I didn't want it, but I needed it. So I'm very thankful for my daddy, very grateful for those things. And I have no critical thing to say about my daddy. My daddy was not perfect, but I have no critical thing to say about him. Thank God for a daddy that cared enough to keep me going the right direction and teach me right and whip me into line or whatever it needed to be. I'm thankful for my daddy today. So in this, I want to be a good influence upon my children. And I know I've failed. I know there's times when I've so failed my children. And I want to be a good daddy, and I want to be a good daddy, and I want to be a good grandpa. I want to be a good great-grandpa like Charles English. Did you know Charles English is a great-grandpa now? I just wanted to bring that out. I didn't. And some of these other fellows around here, grandpas, great-grandpas. And I want to be that kind of an example, you see, to my children, my great-grandchildren, my grandchildren. I want to be an example to those. And I also want to be an example to your children. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be someone that will set forth a good standard for you, for your children. That's not always easy to do. There's pressures all the time trying to get you to change. All the time. Trying to get you to let down on your standards just a little bit. It's all around us all the time. And you don't realize the pressure that this pastor goes through. There's always somebody wanting me to let off in one area or another. Always that. And I face that every day of my life. But I want to be a good example. I'm doing that for you. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for you, and I'm doing it, first of all, for the Lord. And I'm doing it for you because I want you to know of a pastor that took some stands and stood there. And is not going to get off of it, no matter what the consequences. That's the way it ought to be. You see, that's what we ought to see. So anyway, I want to be them things, and I believe the daddies we have present with us today in this services, I believe that you want to have that too. You want to put some influence in your children's lives and in your grandchildren's lives. I believe you really want to do that. Well, I want to look at also, first of all, about Paul. There's so many things we could say about Paul, but I just want to talk about his prayer life just for a moment. We need to influence our children and our grandchildren and our families and our church family. We need to influence them, first of all, by being prayer warriors. We ourselves need to be prayers. We need to let them know that we pray. They need to know that we have a life of prayer so that we can influence them by setting an example of prayer. But not only that, we can influence them by our prayers. There's multitudes of things that I cannot do for my children or my grandchildren that God can. And so I want to influence their life by prayer. I want to pray for them and ask God to protect them physically, yes, but to protect them spiritually, that God will watch over them and take care of them in areas where maybe I failed in doing the right thing and didn't put into them the things I should have put in them. God, you put it in them. You teach them, you train them, and help to do that, because there's many failures, and every person's a daddy here knows of that. You know you feel lack sometimes of doing everything that you ought to be, or at least I do. And so I'm saying we ought to influence by being an example of prayer, but we ought to also influence our young people and our children and families by prayer. Prayer works, folks. I want you to know it. Pray for your young people. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Call their name out before God Almighty and pray for them. You see, the Apostle Paul knew the person of prayer. He knew Jesus Christ. He knew where to take his prayers to, you see, and he knew how to pray. The Apostle Paul said to pray continuously. Just keep on praying all the time. If you've got in the habit of that, you know what we're talking about. You can pray to God no matter where you are. You can be working and just working around and praying and asking God for help and blessings. You men can be out on a job somewhere, and sometimes when your mind doesn't have to be just so intense upon what you're doing, you can pray. And you can talk to God about these wonderful things. You see, the Apostle Paul knew how to pray. He just prayed without ceasing all the time. Another thing, he depended on prayer. You see, in the Bible, time and time again, he asked the brethren to pray for him. Pray for us, he would say. He understood the need of prayer. He understood that he needed prayer behind him. I understand that today. I'm thinking back the other day as I was sitting pondering some things. Some people who used to pray for me that's gone on to heaven. But I've got other folk now that pray for me every day of my life. And I want to tell you something. Thank you so much if you're one of those. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Because I depend on prayer. Donna and I have talked many, many times in the 7 years we kept her mother. That she said, I know people praying for me, Bob. She says, I know they are. She said, I wouldn't have made it through the day. And I'm just telling you, see, prayer works. I mean, maybe that's not a good way to put it. But prayer is real. And it'll do things. And we need to depend upon prayer. So again, let's influence our children. Let's encourage them to know the person of prayer and how to pray. And let's get them to depend upon prayer for their life. Not only that, we need to be an influence with obedience like Joshua. You read through the Bible, and there's many people in the Bible that you could see that obeyed God. Joshua is one of my favorite men in the Bible who was so obedient to the Word of God and whatever God said for him to do. First of all, you remember he was chosen as one of the 12 spies to go out into the land. And when he went into the land and sought out the land, you come back with a good report. He said, we can do it because God said we could. In other words, he was obedient. He said, God said we can do it, so we can do it. He was just obedient. And not only that, we find him coming down to the River Jordan that time, right before they crossed Jordan. And of course, Moses had just died, and he was getting ready to go across the River Jordan. And he said, we can go across this river. Let's go across it. God's going to separate it for us, and we're going to walk across that Jordan River. And he was obedient to that. He got on the other side of Jordan. He came to the city of Jericho. God told him, said, march around that city. He said, one time a day for 6 days. 7th day, he said, walk around that thing 7 times and blow your trumpets, and the walls will come tumbling out. Now, I don't know about you, but folk like us, we'd say, God, can't we just maybe walk around it once and get that job done? But he was obedient. He went ahead and he marched for 6 days, went around that thing every day, got to the 7th day, went around that thing 7 times. Just why? Because God said to. He was obedient. He was an obedient child of God. And I say to you, fathers, you and I, what we ought to do is we ought to be obedient to God, not to this world, but to God. And we ought to set an example for our children of obedience to God Almighty. And that's on an everyday basis. We've got to learn to obey God. Dads, we've just got to do it. We've got to do that and learn that we're an example to our children. We're an example to our grandchildren. We're an example to the people of this church. We are an example out here of what God would want us to be, you see. We're an example. And we've just got to learn to be an example and influence our children with that example of obedience. Not only that, we know that the man named Abraham, there's so many things we could say about these fellows, but there was a man named Abraham. You see, and he had such an influence upon people because of his faith. When I think of faith, I think of Abraham. I think of him saying he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I remember that. He just believed God. He had faith in God Almighty. God came along and said, Abraham, leave the Ur of the Chaldeans. Leave this place that was your home. Leave it. And Abraham got up and left. Now, he may not have been able to do everything because his daddy said he was going with him. His daddy wasn't supposed to go with him, but his daddy went with him, you see. And anyway, they stopped on down at Haran there, and finally his daddy died. But let me say to you, he was a faithful man. God said, leave this land. You know what God's telling us today, fathers? Leave the world. Get out of the world. Walk with God and serve God. Get away from the worldly things and serve God Almighty. That's what God's telling us as daddies. Leave that land. Leave the old world and just walk with God, you see. Not only that, he was an example influenced by the journey into Canaan. God said, go to Canaan. Go to Canaan land, a city. You see, he was looking for a city not made with hands, which was made by God. You see, builder and maker was God. That's what he was looking for. But he was told to go into the Canaan land. That's exactly where he went. You see, he didn't know where to go. God said, go into Canaan land. You go there. He had faith enough to believe God, and he would do exactly what God said, you see. So again, I'm saying to you, be like Abraham. Have faith. Let your children see you walking in faith. It's a marvelous thing. Hey, it's good when something, God's answered prayer, done something good for you. Gather the family together and say, I want to tell you what God done for us. Let your children see God moving. That's why it's so important to me to have things happening here in this church. I want these children to grow up seeing things happen. I want them to grow up seeing somebody walk down this aisle and give their heart to Christ. I want them to see that as an example on down the road, that'll be an example to them. That's what a church ought to be. Church ought to be on fire for the Lord and doing things for God, you see. That's the kind of example we need to set. So, daddies, we need to set that also in our families. We need to set forth a good example of faith. Live by faith, you see. Something you haven't got something, you need something, get the family together and pray about it and say, let's see what God's going to do about this, you see, for us. We're going to trust God, you see, in faith, you see. Not only that, he came to that time, what I call it the ultimate trial. The ultimate trial. He told him to take his only son, Isaac, upon that mountain and offer him there. I can't even imagine what that must have felt like. I really can't. I think of my sons. I have three sons and a daughter, and she's here this morning, and it's good to see her. And I have three sons. I can't imagine, cannot imagine taking one of my sons up and tying him on an altar and getting ready to plunge a knife into him. But that's what Abraham did. Now, you know why? Because God told him to. Obedience. He had faith. He understood. He knew that God would never do anything wrong. And, of course, we know that God provided himself a sacrifice. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, we need to do that too. Our children, our families need to see us walking in faith. They need to see us doing that. Not only that, we need to set forth an example and have influence upon our family with purity, like Joseph. Joseph was one of those people in the Bible, was a great influence. Now, there's great men in the Bible. And let me tell you why there's great men in the Bible. There's great men in the Bible because they serve a great God. That's why. Is it because they're great men? It's because their God is great. You see, and so Joseph was a great man. Joseph was he had a influence upon people in purity. There's hardly any time you think of Joseph that you don't think back about the time when he turned from sin and did right and fled from it and run from it. You see, you'll think of that in your mind because he was a pure man. The Bible says he was a goodly person. He was the kind of person that walked with God and trusted God. You see, not only that, he resisted temptation. He was that kind of fella. He resisted the temptations of this old world. He walked away from those temptations. So he's a great example. Let me say to you, I believe it's also right for us to set that kind of example for our children and for our grandchildren and for our families here in the church. We need to set a good example. Amen. A purity. Good example of purity. Be an influence upon those around you with purity. Not only that, he was a great influence upon those who knew him and also we who read about him in his kindness. Instead of, you know, whether he could have got real bitter about what his brothers did to him. He could have got real bitter because his brothers sold him into slavery. He ended up, you see, in Potiphar's house. And he ended up there. He was falsely accused. And he ended up in jail for approximately 2 years in jail. He could have got bitter. But he did not get bitter. He said to his brothers, you thought it for bad, but God thought it for good. And we know that he had kindness upon his brothers. His brothers had sold him, but they came down to Egypt to get food. And he gave them that food and finally brought them all down to Egypt so that they could be taken care of there. See, Joseph was a man who exchanged kindness for hatred. And I say to you, I believe in our families today, we need to be an example, fathers. We need to be an example of kindness. We need to learn to how to treat one another. We need to learn to not speak unkindly of other folk in our homes. We need to learn those things, to be kind and gracious, you see. We need to have that kind of influence upon us. Not only that, I believe that Job was one of the greatest influences in the Bible on patience. I want to tell you, I've thought about Job a lot of times, and I'm sure you have too as you read it. But Job taught us a lot about patience. Job had a wonderful family. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And we know the story of Job. You've all heard it. You know the time came when the winds came and blew down the house where he was in and killed all, or they was in and killed all of them. I've told you before, I cannot imagine standing around 10 caskets with my children in them. I can't imagine that. I don't even want to imagine that. But I can't imagine that. But yet I see Job accepting it and not blaming God. I see Job when he lost all his wealth, all of it. He lost his health. He lost his ability to make a living for his family because they all was either killed or stolen. He lost his health, sitting there with boils from the top to the bottom of his foot. And he still had patience and did not blame God. And I say to you, I believe that would be a great influence that you and I ought to have upon our families. See us trusting God even during the times when it isn't easy, maybe, to trust God. When it looks bad and hard things come to us, but we know that God never does anything wrong, that God is always right, and God is always good. And we need to see our families, and they need to see us looking to God and saying, God, even though this is a hard and difficult time, it's right because you've allowed it to happen, and it's all right because you're God. We need to learn from Job about some patience. We need to also be influenced with decisions like Moses. We need to look at man and a man like Moses and realize he made some tremendous decisions. He made some decisions that was going to cost him a lot. He chose against being Pharaoh's daughter's son. And he chose the riches of Christ rather than the riches of Egypt. He said, and if you really read the scripture and look back on that, you can realize there's a good chance that Moses could have been in the lineage to be the leader of Egypt because of who he was. But he chose to turn away from that. He chose against sin. He chose against Egypt's treasure. And he realized the treasures of Christ was more important than the treasures of this world. And let me say to you, I believe with all of my heart, that we as daddies and grandparents, we need to set an example for our children that they realize that we believe the treasures of Christ and the riches of Christ is much more greater than the riches of this world. And they need to see us demonstrating that in our life. They need to see us saying that and demonstrating it in our life and setting the example of that in our life. See, we need to influence those we love. We need to influence them. And let me say something to you. Young men, you don't have a chance to do it over. You don't have the chance to do it over. That's one of the things I've thought about so many times in my life. Brother, you've sowed what you've sowed. Where the tree has fallen, it's fallen. You don't go back. You may try to make things right, but you don't go back and change the everyday living of your life and the influence that you can have every day on your family. You can't change it. You may take it to God in prayer and He may be able to change it. But let me say to you folks, we need to be an influence in our family. And let me say, whether we need to be or not, we are. One way or another, we are influencing our family every single day. Daddies, we are putting things into our children every single day that we live. Let it be good things that we put in there. Let it be the right and proper things that we put in there. Be like Moses and influence your family with decisions like Moses, hard decisions. When it's hard to make those decisions, it's difficult sometimes. Don't you have things come up that's hard to decide what to do, which direction to go? I believe with all of my heart there's crossroads in all of our lives. And at those crossroads, decisions are made at that time that will determine the rest of the direction of your life. I believe that with all of my heart. And we need to come to those crossroads and realize that we want to set an example for our children. We want to influence our children and their families, and we want to do that which is right in the eyes of God and not in the eyes of men. We do it because it's right. I have to make many decisions here at this church, more than you'll ever know decisions I have to make. And I have to make them right. I have to decide which way this church is going, the direction it's going. Because if I don't, somebody else will influence it the wrong way. And I will make those decisions. I'm going to make sure this church stays right down the line, right on line, right on where Christ, that's where I'm going to decide. You see, and that's the way this church is going. That's the way it's going to stay going, just right on down the line. So we're not going to change. We're not going to change our standards. We're not going to change these things. This is the way it's going, right on down the line. You see, that's the way this church is going to go. Understand? And that's right and proper. But daddies and mommies, you have to make decisions in your families. What direction are you going? What are you going to do with your family? Which direction are you going to take your family? Because down the road, 10, 15 years, it's going to determine was you right or wrong. You better set them right back here. You better get them back here when you can set them and determine how your family, a lot of folk right now in Christianity, walking, setting on a line. They don't want to get over here, and they don't want to get over here. They just want 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And my friend, that'll never work, because I'll guarantee you your family will see the foot out, and that's what they'll remember. That's exactly what they'll remember. Wouldn't it be a great thing if your family could grow up, your children grow up, and say, you know what? Well, Daddy, I never did understand all he'd done, but I'm going to tell you, I knew where he stood. He stood right down the line. I knew where he stood. Maybe I didn't always agree with him, but he stood right down the line. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Isn't that what you want? That kind of influence, you see, in your family. Not only that, we need to influence our children with a vision like Noah had. You look at the life of Noah and you find out that Noah's vision was a perishing world. Noah realized, because God told him, there's going to be a great judgment. And the Bible speaks of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. And he preached for 120 years, realizing that the world was going to be lost. He had a vision of a lost world. And daddies, I say to you, it's time we got a vision of a lost world. We've got to realize that folk are going to hell out there. They're dying every day. And every time they die without Christ, there's another one added to the lake of fire, the fires of hell. You understand? Do you realize that? Do you understand that? Or is this world more important than the souls of men? We need to get a vision like Noah had, and Noah had a vision of a perishing world. Noah had a vision also of a way to escape, because God told him to build an ark to the saving of his house. And I say to you, you may not be able to save the world, but my friend, you ought to save your house. We ought to give the gospel to those of this world, everyone, and make sure that they hear the word of God. But we ought to save our own house. We ought to make sure those of our house are in the fold. Amen. Make sure that they walk right, they do right. You see, we ought to make sure of that above all other. You see, we need to have that kind of influence with a vision like Noah had. And Noah had a great vision. See, he'd done what God wanted him to do. And he built an ark for the saving of his house. What a wonderful thing it was. I believe something in our families, what we need to do today more than anything else. All we hear about in the worldly areas of education and teaching is to teach a people or teach children how to make a living. I think it's much more important to teach them how to live. Let me say something to you. You can be successful with your children. You can make them some of the most smartest people that ever came out of anywhere. They may have an IQ greatly. And they may be able to make $1 million in a year. But let me say to you, if you've failed in teaching them the things of God, you have failed. If you're going to turn out some kids that's going to be this or that and have a great position and they can't even learn how to be a good mother and a good housewife and a good wife to the husband, if they can't do that, there's failure. I didn't get as many amens on that one. You can teach a man how to make a living, and you can teach him how to be faithful in work and all those things, and well, we should. But if we don't teach our children how to walk with God and serve God, we failed. Amen? We failed. So I'm saying to you, the important thing is we need to influence our children to have a vision about this old world that is lost and perishing, and that we ought to serve God and walk with God Almighty and love Him and be saved and be born again into God's family and then serve God for the rest of our life. That ought to be what we're teaching them. You see, it's right to influence our children by being a Christian. First of all, let me say to you, be born again. Every person in this room, I cannot see your heart, you cannot see mine. But the most important thing is this day, daddies, mamas, or whoever it may be, are you born again? Has there been that time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You've put your faith, you've put your trust, your faith in Christ and Him alone, and you now are a Christian because of what you believe that Jesus is and who He is and that you are trusting Him and no one else? If you haven't made that step, you've failed as a daddy. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. We need to also influence our children by dedicating ourselves to God. It's good to be saved. I'm glad I'm saved, but we need to be dedicated to God. Our children need to see us dedicated unto the Lord and to the Lord's work. Not only that, we should be an influence in being concerned about God's house. You need to bring up your children realizing that you have a concern about the house of God. The house of God is a wonderful place that God has given us where we can gather together. It is not the temple of God. We are the temple of God. But the house of God is a wonderful place that God has given us where we as Christians can gather together and learn together and study together and go from here to serve God. And we ought to have a concern about the house of God. They ought to know when it comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's church for your family. They should never have to ask, are we going to church? I made that determination a long time ago. I've told you that. I made that determination right after we got saved. I called my family together. Don't even know whether they remember. But I said, don't ever ask if we're going to church. We're going to church. I don't ask about that. Don't ask if they're going to church. Don't ask if they want to go to church. Just say, you're going to church. And that's it. That's the way it is. You set that example, you see, of dedicating yourself to the Lord and to the house of God. This is a wonderful place God has given us. We ought to care about the house of God and how it looks and how it functions. We ought to care about things like that. And your children ought to see you caring. They ought to see you caring enough to do something about it and be a part of it. Not only that, we ought to influence our children by winning others to Jesus. We ought to be soul winners. It's a command from God. Did you know that? Did you know it's a cry from beneath? Hell, they're crying out and asking. The rich man, according to Luke 16, the rich man cried out and he asked that his brothers, somebody go tell his brothers that they wouldn't have to come to this terrible place. Do you realize that those in hell was even more concerned than most churches are today? Concerned that their family and relation should not come to that place with burning fire. And we as a daddy or mama or a grandfather or whatever it might be, they ought to see us being able to win people to Christ and being a witness for Jesus Christ and telling people about the Lord. They ought to see that. If they don't see it in you, probably they won't do it later on themselves, more than likely. Not only that, we should be an influence by looking for Jesus to come. There's hardly a day I get up, and I'm sure you feel the same way, but there's hardly ever a day I get up that I don't think about maybe Jesus will come today. And sometimes I so yearn for Him to come. I wish you'd go over and talk to Brother Horton someday. I wish you'd stop in and see him. Last two times I've been there, I wonder if God's not getting ready, because last two times I've been there, all He wants to do is talk about heaven. He just wants to talk about how wonderful it is. He's in a nursing home looking up at a ceiling. He told me he got a new ceiling. They moved him from the one room to the other. He's very comical, Brother Horton is. But all he wanted to do is talk about heaven. Let me tell you what he said. He said, oh, Pastor, it'd be so wonderful if God would come get me right now. And he said, I'd be walking down the street, and I'd see my wife and my mother, and he began to cry. He said, I want to see her. Again, his wife was a Christian, and because of her Christianity, they become coming to our church. I stood behind her, beside her bed when she was dying, and Brother Horton got saved. He's so glad he's saved. Told me the other day, he said, you know, I'm so glad that I got saved. This meant a lot to him, that I got saved before I got real sick. He said, because I'd always have doubt that why did I do it?
That's what he said. He got saved and was baptized, took him down to Carlisle at that time, took him down to Carlisle and baptized him. He just sits around and wants to talk about heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. I want you to know something, folks. You can influence your children by looking for Jesus. And in the Bible, let me just give you this. In the Bible, whenever you see about the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Lord Jesus, it's always in connection with our godly living, how we ought to live. Coming of Christ should not be something just to excite us, and certainly it should be to comfort us and encourage us, but it ought to always change our way of living. If you look for the coming of Christ, don't you think it would be better? If you knew he was coming today, don't you think you would probably sharp up a little bit? I mean, maybe you would do the same things because maybe you're used to doing the same things. But let me say, a lot of folk would be doing some scammering to get some things right and change things. But should not we be that way anyway because he could come today? So influence your family. Jesus Christ is coming. I'm looking for him. Do you look for him? I'm ready for him to come. I'm anxious for it. I look for it daily. And because of that, I believe I can influence a church to look for him. I want you to look for Jesus. I want you to be excited about his coming and realize he's coming soon. I don't know when, but he's coming. And we ought to have things right in our life when he gets here. Amen. So let's be the kind of influence we ought to be for our family, daddies. Make a decision today, if you have not already done so, make a decision that you're going to do everything you can to be the right kind of influence for your children in spiritual things. Certainly we're influence of hard work and all of these other things, but if we leave out spiritual things, we've missed out on the whole boat. Missed the whole boat. Understand? We need to influence them in the things of the Lord. All right, let's pray. Bow our head, close our eyes, please. Just going to ask you a couple questions. First of all, daddies, I just want to ask you today, if you're here this morning, and I say daddies, I don't mean just daddies, mamas, whoever it may be, children, if you're here today, can you say for sure, I'm born again, I'm God's family, I'm in God's family, I know I'm saved? If you can say that, would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you so much. Say, Brother Ross, I could not raise my hand. I'm not sure about my salvation. I do not know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to know. Would you just raise your hand, please? Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Would you do that, please? All right. You say, Pastor, I've been a daddy for a long time, and I've tried to do right, but there's a lot of areas that I'm missing. There's a lot of areas that I need to do something different. I need to be the right kind of influence for my children, my family, to my church members here, to my church family. And I believe God's talked to my heart today about some of those. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Others? Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, your wonderful goodness to us, all of your kindness, all of your grace. Thank you for saving us, being our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being our provider, being everything for us. I'm thankful I can look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, Father, I pray your will be done in each and every person in this room today. Lord, if there's a need, I pray that we'll let you meet it. In Jesus' name, amen.